Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst, friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
I am excited to talk about this farm system, man. This is one of my favorite ones. It's one of the ones I was lucky enough to write up for Prospects Live. And there are two of my favorite guys at the top, and I cannot wait.
Well, I'm excited. This is an interesting system. It's a team in kind of in flux. I think they were going for it last year. It seems like they're starting to break things down a little bit this year. But
what I'm confused is why they stopped at Goldschmidt.
Yeah, I feel like there's more to come still.
I'm running out of time. But
there's still time.
I'd be moving, you know, obviously Greinke's got, it's hard to move, but I'd be trying to move David Peralta while the iron's hot with him. And even Souza if you can.
I think they got to recoup some value on Souza and Lamb before they can move those guys.
And Kettle Marte, who I think he's a franchise kind of guy, which they signed him to a deal, so I think he'll be around for a little bit. But I guess now that we're talking about it, there's really not that much to parlay there. But
yeah, I think that's the problem is, well, they got some arms. They could move Robbie Ray. They could move Zach Godley. And they should definitely try to move Greinke, even if they got to eat some money.
They should definitely move Ray.
Sure. But we are talking about the Arizona Diamondbacks, if you hadn't figured out by those names of players. Remind everybody, you can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB. Reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. So, Matt, take it away. Who are your top guys in the system?
As you listen to this podcast, if you are by a computer, go to the Prospects Live list as well. It's going to be a little different because this is a fantasy slanted list, but the Prospects Live list has video on almost all of these guys to accompany the list. So go check it out. And if you watch that Christian Robinson video, you're going to be just as high on him as I am. It's almost illegal how much I loved the then 17-year-old kid, but he's 18 now, so it's okay. But he is just a stud. You look at Robinson, $2.55 million bonus out of the Bahamas. Extremely physical kid. Doesn't even look 17. He looks like he's much older. A pair of loud ass tools and a 70 power grade, 60 speed, 6'3" frame with the 60 speed. That's shows you how much of a crazy athlete he is. Like I said, 70 raw power. Yes, he had 26% K rate. But being a kid who played most of the year at 17, didn't turn 18 until December. So he played the whole year at 17, and he walked at a 10.5% clip. Kids with long arms like this, long levers, traditionally have strikeout concerns, and yeah, his 26% is an issue, but it's not one I'm worried about at all. This guy, you know, he's from the Bahamas, which is now becoming a baseball hotbed of sorts with a couple other prospects. It's another one we're going to get to on this list, also from the Bahamas. And, you know, they have obviously issues like a language barrier and such, but that's not the case with Robinson, or a culture barrier more so. Not the case with Robinson, because Robinson actually played his AAU and travel ball in Florida. So he's been playing in the States for a little bit now, so it shouldn't take him much to get acclimated at all. And I'm absolutely here for Christian Robinson, and the absolute upside here, if everything breaks right, is what you're looking at in Chicago as a peak Eloy Jimenez. That is how much I am in love with Robinson. He fits prominently in my top 25 prospects list coming out on the site. I could not be more in love with the skills here, and it's just loud contact. The instructs video we got on Prospects Live is nasty. So if you're at home watching that, it's exciting stuff. I cannot undersell that more, or overstate that, excuse me. He's got me so in love with him, I can't even speak. But Jazz Chisholm is the next guy on this list. And this is a guy I've seen probably a dozen or so times in Kane County. And he's a spark plug, and he's instantly going to be a fan favorite as soon as he hits Phoenix. $200,000 bonus out of the Bahamas. Above average power, should stick at shortstop. He's good enough glove. He's got the arm for the position. He's an elite athlete, quick hands, explosive hips, aggressive all-fields hitter, takes really big swings, doesn't shorten up. So, yeah, the 29% K rate is real. But he also will walk 7.8%. So, you know, he'll hover probably slightly below average walk rates throughout his career. But Jazz is going to be a guy that people just fall in love with. Even in the Arizona Fall League, he was getting like, you know, everyone was on him. And I was sitting here thinking to myself, man, I've seen this guy, you know, a dozen times before that. And I should have been more aggressive on Jazz everywhere because I own him in pretty much every dynasty league I'm in. But I wish I could own him twice in those leagues because he's a player that I absolutely love. Really explosive guy, like I said. Quick, whippy swing. 25 homers and 17 stolen bases this year in high A. From a guy that's guaranteed to stick at shortstop, that's exciting. I do think he's. I'll touch on the defense real quick, though. I do think he's good enough to stick at short. I don't think he's ever going to be a plus defender, though. So it's very, very likely that, you know, the Diamondbacks over the course of the next few years find and develop a plus shortstop somewhere. There's a couple that might be on this list that maybe are better defensively and push Jazz to second or even center field, and he's going to handle that. I'm not concerned about that. And, like, he's a lovable guy, obviously, like I touched on. In the Arizona Fall League, he wasn't voted into the Fall Stars game, which I – fan voting, again, do away with it. It's the worst. He didn't make the list, but – who's sitting in front row behind home plate? Jazz. What has he got next to him? He's got two girls on each side of him. So he's going to be a guy that everyone loves. he was sitting in the center of four girls in the fall league, knowing he should damn well be out on the field that game, but just chilling, watching the game. So you have to love everything about this kid. He's just phenomenal, and he's going to be a fan favorite as soon as he gets up. John Duplantier is my clear-cut third guy in this list. Obviously, the top pitching prospect in the system. 60 grade fastball, three above average off speed pitches. Recently had a slider, and I think it has a chance to be the best one. Strikes out over a batter an inning, while also getting ground ball rates over 50%. It was a 53% rate in 2018. So that alone puts him, you know, in high regard. There's some injury concerns, though. Obviously, the career at Rice. Rice has a bad reputation for arms. He had a shoulder impingement while at Rice that caused him to completely rework his delivery. He got shut down after elbow soreness in 2016 after entering the organization. And in 2018, he missed time, but it wasn't initially, anyways. It wasn't an arm. He missed the hamstring injury. And then he had a bout with bicep tendonitis. But he came back and pitched in the fall league and proved he was healthy. So, I'm not concerned about the biceps injury.
You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. All preseason long, we'll be bringing you the most in-depth analysis to get you ready for your drafts. There will be 30 team previews with 30 prospect previews during the month of January. That's 60 podcasts in 30 days. Then, we will be dropping almost daily pods until the start of the season. You can also get your 2019 draft guide called The Fantasy Benefit in ebook and paperback on Amazon.com, or if you prefer, you can get it via email in PDF form. It has over 250 pages of analysis, player profiles, ranks, strategy guides, and prospect information for cheaper than the magazine you get in the store. Plus, we'll be updating both PDF and ebook all the way until draft season is over for any changes that happen in the landscape of fantasy baseball. Stay tuned all preseason long to Friends of Fantasy Benefits so you can be ahead of the curve.
Dalton Varsho has potential to be fantasy gold, as in the catcher that's not a full-time catcher. So sign everyone up for that. He's an athlete, 19 stolen bases with 11 home runs as a catcher, positive plate skills. He's from baseball powerhouse University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. So everyone was kind of waiting to see what they got here. And it's a little bit rough defensively, but he's improved. He's a gap-to-gap hitter. He's more athletic. And he's a little bit rough receiving, but he does have an arm, and he threw out 34% of base stealers last year. So, you know, he's got top five catcher upside just in the fact that he can probably catch a couple days a week and play the outfield. I mean, that's wishful thinking because how many players really do that? But I genuinely do think Varsho has a chance to be that guy. So I'm excited about that. Geraldo Perdomo is my next fantasy guy on this list. If you haven't heard of him, I don't blame you because not many people have. He's a 19-year-old shortstop. Just got introduced to stateside ball this year. He's in short season ball and rookie ball. 322, 438, 460 with four homers and 24 stolen bases. 15.2% walk rate, 17% strikeout rate. Backed up his eye-popping numbers in the DSL, Dominican Summer League, when he had 60 walks to 37 strikeouts. And in case you thought that might be a fluke, he kind of backed it up with the really strong plate skills in his first season stateside. The stolen base total at 24, I think it's more going to be like 12 to 15 at the big league level because he's not a burner at all. He's kind of just an advanced runner. Advanced feel for hit from both sides, uses all fields. Perdomo is a really instinctual baseball player, and he's a good guy to have. Alec Thomas is going to be next on this list, and he's kind of got major league bloodlines in the way that I say that his father is the White Sox strength and conditioning coach. So, yeah, he doesn't have the bloodlines per se, but he knows how to be brought up to be a big leaguer, right? Because that's what his dad's literal job is to do for the White Sox. So, obviously, he's going to be, you know, has the perfect baseball build. I mean, he's 5'11", 175, so he's a little bit on the small side. But he's going to have the baseball build. He was a wide receiver commit to TCU, and he chose baseball. So obviously he's athletic. I think the hit tool can be plus. He might not be more than like a 15-homer-a-year guy, but he's gonna pound the gaps, and pound the lines, and had 30-plus extra base hits. 30-plus doubles a year just because of how athletic he is and how advanced he can be. Had a really strong showing plate skills-wise in rookie ball after entering pro ball. Really good center fielder. Has a really good knowledge of the strike zone and probably projects as a leadoff hitter. Taylor Widener was the guy they got from the Yankees, and he led the minor leagues in strikeouts. You're looking at a guy who he managed to cut his walks down to below 3 per 9. And he struck out over 11.5, 137 innings this year. So Taylor Widener is an intriguing guy to follow. Blaze Alexander was their 11th rounder out of IMG Academy this year. He's a guy that can stick it short, has a really strong arm. Remember Khalil Green? That's kind of the guy I think Blaze Alexander can be. Really, really strong arm, got some power, small frame, 6 foot, 160 pounds, but he has the power of a guy much larger in size. Blaze Alexander can be a 20 home run guy if he sticks at shortstop. He's a little bit aggressive, but I think ultimately the walk rate at 12.6% is a little bit misleading because of how aggressive he is. But I do think, you know, he's always going to have above average play skills with the contact rate and stuff. So he's the guy that I'm tracking. Merrill Kelly, I had to touch on him. He's technically a prospect, but he's 30. He is the guy, he was a former Rays prospect, and he went over to, had a 4-year stint in the Korean Baseball League, and now he signed a 2-year deal for $5.5 million with the Diamondbacks this year. I guess they're kind of hoping they find their version of Miles Michaelis, which I'm not expecting that, obviously, but Kelly's kind of remade himself over in Korea, and he completely reworked the delivery. And he's a 92-94 with a cutter changeup, and he has has a two-seamer as well. And he's probably a back-end guy or a swing guy, but he's got a clause in his contract that says he has to be in the majors. So you'll definitely see Merrill Kelly this year. Jake McCarthy was their 39th overall pick out of the University of Virginia. Speed and OBP. His brother Joe McCarthy's in the Rays system. Obviously, the OBP sticks with that too. The arm might push him to an outfield corner, which is a problem because of his extreme ground ball tendency that will limit his power upside. But I do like Jake McCarthy, and I think if he can stick in center, he's a hell of a player. Looking at number 10 on the list is a Cardinal prospect, the main return for Paul Goldschmidt, Andy Young. I say the main return, but in my opinion, Andy Young is more than a throw-in. He was kind of listed as a third player in the deal, but he's more important than that. With Luke Weaver and Carson Kelly. Young is a power overhit infield prospect, and he's consistently hit at every stop. 289, 379, 479, 21 homers, 144 WRC+, 7.6% walk rate, sub 17% K rate with four stolen bases this year in high A and double A, and even got a he should go to triple A to start 2019. And he's kind of similar to like what a, like a Jed Jerko. It's kind of what I'm expecting to get out of Young here. Won't win a Gold Glove at second base, but he's a lock for 20 homers if he gets enough plate appearances because he can hit. Emilio Vargas is a number four starter. Fastball 91-94, can tick up a little bit higher. 6'3", 200 pounds, has a really good frame. Low 80 sliders, a plus pitch. So based off those two pitches alone, he's going to have a big league future. Needs to change up to take a step forward. Andy Yerzy is a power-hitting catcher who's now starting to see time at first base, which is bad news for his long-term future. But he was a second-round pick based off his power, and he's got above-average power projection and good plate skills. But the problem is he might not be able to catch, and that's obviously going to be an issue. Drew Ellis is a power-hitting third baseman, and the power over-hit tool, over 50% fly ball rate, and he's a big extreme pull guy, so he knows his game. So I think he can have a major league future with the way the balls are flying out of yards right now. Pavin Smith, who I don't want to say despise, but I do not like as a prospect. First base prospect, absolute best case scenario is what? Like a Mitch Moreland? Mm. That's absolute best, and I don't see that happening. The plate skills are good for Pavin Smith, but the power is not enough for the position, and he cannot play outfield. As of right now, he hasn't spent any time in the outfield. I expect him to get mixed into that in the mix this year. Yoan Lopez is a sleeper for saves, if you like that sort of thing, which obviously you do, right? 97-mile-an-hour fastball, an 80-grade, mid-80s slider. He has control issues, but they didn't flare up as much last year as they have in the past. He's had a lot of off-the-field issues, and you know, Diamondback fans probably don't care for Yoan Lopez too much, and that's not really his fault. It's because Dave Stewart. When Dave Stewart signed Lopez for $8 million, Dave Stewart was unaware that the team was going to have to pay a significant tax on it. And he was also supposedly, I mean, this is all hearsay, I guess, but he was also didn't know that they were going to be barred for any signing any international free agent for 2 years. So I can see why Diamondbacks fans might not love Yoan Lopez too much, but it's not his fault. And when he's healthy, which he has been in the last year or so, and he's healthy and motivated, he's a really good arm. Buddy Kennedy comes from the Mike Trout Millville, New Jersey, and also has no neck, just like Trout. They work out together, so it's not a surprise. Average hit tool with strong play skills, and he's got a really strong line drive rate, just waiting for that line drives to turn into more over-the-fence power, but Buddy Kennedy is a dude, I think. Alvin Guzman was a 16-year-old kid who has a really good feel for hit. Kevin Crone is a sleeper prospect who might end up taking that first base job this year now that Goldschmidt's out of town. CJ Crone's brother, he hit 309, 368, 554 last year in AAA with 22 homers, 22% K rate, 8% walk rate. Played a little bit of third base, so he's a smidge more athletic than his brother, but he's not going to stick at third base by any means, but at least he can be passable there. He's kind of on the line of quad A and legit prospects, so 2019 is a big year for him. 6'5", 245, so he's a big, big physical dude. But again, first base is open. It's him and Christian Walker as currently constructed, unless they're going to play Jake Lamb there. But you know, who knows with that. Taylor Clark, back-end starter Joel Piamps is a sleeper. Might be a bullpen arm, but Piamps has a really nice stuff, and I came away impressed. Eduardo Diaz has some pop, but the plate skills absolutely fell apart this year. I think it's a flash in the pan. He's kind of getting pushed aggressively throughout the minor leagues, and I hope they kind of slow him down and let him repeat Kane County. Number one, because I get to see him. Number two, because you know he's proven that he couldn't handle low A, but he destroyed every other league until then. So I think they just need to pump the brakes there. Marcus Wilson's the supreme athlete. Matt Tabor and Matt Mercer are future Major League starters. Dom Miroglio is a catcher that kind of popped up. This is kind of why you don't invest too much in catching prospects either, because you know this guy came from the University of San Francisco in the 20th round in 2017. And
you know who the first person to talk about him in fantasy circles was?
Was it you?
It was me. You want to know why?
Oh, because you went to San – or you – because it's right by your – you saw – him and Zimmer play, right, in San Francisco?
No, I did not. I've never seen him play. He is actually the cousin of my high school best friend.
Nice. Okay.
And so when he popped up in the Arizona Fall League.
Yeah, he's a legit prospect. Yeah. He's played himself into as a legit prospect. He, as a catcher, I don't care what league you're playing in, but as a catcher, he would have won the California League batting title. But wow. he got promoted at the end of the year to AA Jackson for the playoff run and didn't have enough at-bats to qualify. Mm. But he would have won the batting title in the Cal League, which is impressive. Because, as a catcher, I don't care what league you're in. And he went to AA Jackson and hit well enough, and he made the Southern League's postseason All-Star team. So, he's legit. Came in to the year as, kind of a strong defensive catcher with, backup written all over him. But I think he's played his way into possibly being a starting catcher. And Arizona values defense a lot from their catchers. I mean, look what they've ran out for the last couple of years. And Maroglio, am I pronouncing that right? Maroglio?
Maroglio,
okay. Well, Maroglio is a guy that should fit in pretty well with what Arizona, puts on their catchers, and he's played himself into the role of possibly being a major league regular. Domingo Lamba is a guy that I've never really been a fan of, but he has a 60 hit tool, and that's pretty much it. Decent glove, but that doesn't help you for fantasy, and it's really not good enough to be a starter anywhere. He's probably a utility guy. Jorge Barroza and Wilder Patino are teenage kids that are worth monitoring. And Jose Caballero, real quick, is a guy that I fell in love with when I watched him in Kane County a lot. Real spark plug kid, real gritty guy, short second baseman, had put together really impressive at bats for three or four games in a row. When I finally looked into him more, I was like, you know what, you finally got my attention. And he found out he was actually a seventh rounder out of Chipolo Junior College, which is probably, despite being born in Panama. And, he's a high energy guy, plays with his hair on fire. Nearly a 1-to-1 K to walk ratio, covers the plate well, really good average runner, but plays up because he's a smart kid, good glove. I'm a kind of a fan of Jose Caballero as a sense that he can make it as a utility option. But the Diamondbacks have done a lot of improvements in their system lately. Doesn't hurt when you get Robinson and Jazz start popping and Duplantier stays healthy. That's a pretty strong top three. Varsho's in the top 100 for me, so that's a good strong top four. Alec Thomas and Geraldo Perdomo are just outside my top 100. So you're talking about, six guys that are on the radar for top 100 lists? And that's a far cry from where Arizona was. And then there's guys like Andy Young. And my, write-up for Andy Young when he was with the Cardinals, I wrote in there that, he's going to be the source of several, where did Devil Magic tweets? Because where did this guy come from? You know what I mean? Because you get that when a Cardinals prospect pops up, especially a 37th round pick like Andy Young. But he can hit, so I think he's kind of being undersold as the third piece in that deal, but he's actually the second piece because Luke Weaver is a good pitcher and Andy Young is the guy and Carson Kelly is not.
All right. Well, that is going to wrap us up for this episode. You can reach that on Twitter at MDTopFWFB. Reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. I don't know where you can reach Dom Maroglio, but
through you, evidently.
Yeah, his cousin is a great buddy of mine and actually my lawyer. So,
you need one of those, huh?
Yeah, I always need a lawyer. So. Matt, what do you got going on right now?
A lot of stuff at Prospects Live. It's list season. We're wrapping up these top 30s, finishing up with the Dodgers, Padres, and Mariners. So fun stuff for the West Coast. Starting top 100 season, top 100 OBP, top 100 for 2019, top 100 for points leagues, top 100 for reality, top 100 plus for fantasy. Real fun stuff over there.
And you can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Read all my
draft
stuff.
Draft guide.
FanGraphs, Fantasy Alarm, and the draft guide. The draft guide should be out here in the next couple days. So definitely check that out over on Amazon.com. Or if you want just a PDF copy, you can get it by emailing me at friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. And I will let you know how you can pay for that. And I will send it to you. And we'll be updating. We'll be updating the draft guide either through the ebook and the PDF version all off season until pretty much opening day. So And then I actually got a question from one of our staff members, Andrew Dewhurst, was like, "Hey, you ever thought about putting out a mid-season guide?" And that's not something maybe me and Matt will talk about with Mike, and maybe that's something we could do halfway through the season. I know you're updating your lists over Prospect Live all season long, so maybe we could do some sort of mid-season
It'd be kind of fun.
guide.
Something
Yeah,
different.
I don't know if I really want to put that much effort into things, but
Well,
we'll see. It was an interesting idea.
then why are you doing this?
I don't know.
Because there's a lot of pages if you don't want to do effort.
This is
But I
true.
mean, seriously,
It's
though.
already 375 pages, and I still have to add in a couple more prospect pieces.
Yeah, but I guess if you're gonna buy a draft guide, why not buy a searchable online one that's gonna be constantly updated?
Yeah, it's the updated man. Like every other draft guide is going to be out of date pretty much the moment they print it. And ours will just continuously be updated all off season. So, and it's going to be cheap. So, we'll more information in the next couple days as we kind of get that live over on Amazon.com. For Matt, myself, thanks for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.